It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to wrap up the week with you as we come up to Friday, our last program of the week. And I would like to ask you, is everybody happy? Well, that's actually the title for our program today. And we would like to know if you are happy. Do you have negative thoughts? What do you do with those? In fact, our poll question today is, when you are sad or have negative thoughts about yourself, is it more helpful for you to do? And then you can choose from the following. Deny those negative thoughts, fight negative thoughts, accept the negative thoughts, or, well, actually, there are only three choices. So you can go online if you haven't done that already, and you can make your selection there and let us know what you are thinking. We're going to have a great program today. I have a wonderful guest in the studio with me, someone that is so well qualified to talk with us about the topic today. My number is 800-775-4673. That number, once again, 800-775, and then the acronym HOPE, H-O-P-E. If you'd like to watch online, you can do that also, and that is www.lifetalk.net. And I would encourage you to do that. If you haven't done it and you're at your desk and you are there and you'd like something else to do other than what you're just doing, you may be working away at something, but if you'd like to watch online, you can do that. Go to www.lifetalk.net, and there's a button there that you can click, and you can watch this program live as it's happening here in the studio. And you can see Leo, who is our engineer today, and Leo's over here keeping us well under control. And then my guest is also here. So if you'd like to watch online, do that at www.lifetalk.net. There are a lot of other wonderful things that you can find at lifetalk.net. You can find Bible study guides and just a whole host of things, podcasting, just a lot of things that will be a benefit to you. We have also recently started cell phone streaming, and so there are a lot of tools and things that you can use that will keep you in touch with Life Talk and also with the Lord. And so just go there, if you would, www.lifetalk.net. Now, if you'd like to send in a question over the Internet, you can do that as well. You can do that at Gallimore Live, G-A-L-L-I-M-O-R-E-L-I-V-E, at lifetalk.net. You may have noticed that last week's Time magazine, the February 23 edition, had news about something that is very important as it relates to our thoughts, our happy thoughts and our negative thoughts. In fact, it reported on a new psychological approach to the problem of sadness. Now, I don't know how many of you feel sad today, but it is, of course, part of life that all of us at times feel sad. Some people feel sad or despondent or depressed, maybe more than others. And some people, maybe a greater part of their lives, will feel that way. Well, what about this approach to the problem of sadness? Psychologist Stephen Hayes was himself a person that was subject to panic attacks and anxiety. In fact, one experience he got up in front of his class, and someone asked him a question, and he was mouthing the words, but he couldn't say anything. And so he was an individual that needed some help himself, but he also is a psychologist that now has wanted to try to help others. He has written 27 books, and he has also written over 300 articles. He's a leader in a new approach to anxiety called acceptance and commitment therapy, and he admits that he can't cure people's pain. But anyway, he does have some recommendations about negative feelings and accepting those from, at least his standpoint, accepting those negative feelings as part of life. In fact, he says in one of his books that happiness is not normal. Well, I don't know. We have a guest today that is going to discuss this topic with us, and a very well-qualified guest. And we're going to talk about negative feelings, about happiness. Is it natural to be happy? Are you a happy person? Do you know people that you look at that person, or you're acquainted with them, you talk with them and say, hey, that's a happy person? I know that I often find myself qualifying people in those kinds of terms. Well, that's a person that seems to be happy, because I observed that that's a person that their demeanor and so forth just seems to indicate that they're a happy person. And then we have, in fact, I a place where I go once in a while and I pick up something to eat. There is someone there, and that person is always so happy. In fact, I've never seen that person without a smile. Now, I don't know if that person is happy or not. Maybe they just wear a smile. But their outward mannerism certainly indicates that they're a happy person. Well, I don't know if you are happy or not. Do you think that a Christian should be happy? Or do you think a Christian should be someone that is always sad? Or do you think a Christian is someone that is sometimes happy and then at other times that person is sad? Well, the Bible does have some things to say about the issue. It has some things to say about happiness. It has some things to say about sadness. You have probably read some of those in the Bible. The Bible actually has a lot to say about rejoicing, for instance, which, of course, is an expression of happiness. We go to the book of Revelation, we find that there the Lord talks a lot about rejoicing. And when you look at Revelation and the scenes that it opens up in heaven, you don't see a lot of sadness there. We do see some sadness in some of the scenes that are revealed before people are in heaven. And in Revelation, we see that there is a great time of trouble, a time of sorrow, and some of those kinds of things are revealed in Revelation. But it also, when we get to heaven, reveals a lot about happiness and joy. It would seem to me that God is someone that is joyful and happy and that he likes for his people to be joyful and happy as well. But, of course, we know that there is a whole range of human emotions, and all of those emotions are emotions that God made us with. But how do we use those, and how does all this weigh out between being happy and between being negative? Let me ask you this. Do you like to be around people that just seem to be completely taken over by negative thoughts, or do you like to be around people that seem to be happy and joyful and are always positive? Well, we would love for you to give us a call today and express to us your opinion. This topic is very complicated on the one hand, and we have a psychiatrist that is our guest for today that's going to help us through this. But in another way, it is also a very simple topic. It's one that all of us can express an opinion about, and we would like to hear from you. So I ask you the question again today, are you happy or are you sad? Give us a call, or if you would like to have some advice from a well-qualified guest, you can give us a call. The number is 800-775-HOPE, 800-775-4673.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
Now the continuing story of the young and the foolish.
Oh, Cutter, I love this little bistro.
So do I. It's marvelous. And it's so, what's the word, you?
Oh, you have such a command of the language.
Yes, but enough about me. Let's talk about you, Elena. You and that snow-white Ferrari outside. You and this ridiculously expensive dining ensemble you're wearing. Do you always live like this?
Well, of course.
But how? It's so much more than you can possibly afford.
I use credit cards. I can still afford the minimum payments.
But what about next month and the month after? You must stop living beyond your means, even if it means giving up those credit cards.
Don't be ridiculous, Cutter. They're so pretty, especially this gold one.
May I see them?
Here. You're cutting out my cards.
That's why they call me Cutter.
Waiter.
Yes?
Give this gentleman the bill.
A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. Our number is 800-775-HOPE, 800-775-4673. And we are talking about happiness and sadness and all negative thoughts and feelings. We're talking about all those kinds of things, and we would be happy to have your call today. The number, once again, 800-775-4673. The poll, once again, was this. The question was, when you are sad or have negative thoughts about yourself, how should you deal with these thoughts? We're going to discuss this today, and then a little later on, I'll give you the results of the poll. My guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings. He is a medical doctor, a physician, and a psychiatrist, and he is here in the studio with me. And Dr. Jennings, so nice to have you here and on the air, and we're going to have a good time with this topic.
Thank you. Looking forward to working with you.
Well, let me ask you right up front, Dr. Jennings, what about negative feelings? If you looked at the whole gamut of humanity in this world. Would you say in looking at that, that people overall are happy most of the time, or are they negative most of the time?
I think people are challenged with a whole host of feelings throughout their life, and feelings often are like waves on the ocean, and the waves on the ocean are constantly moving up and down. The challenge is for us, as we approach our experience with our feelings, are we going to be bobbers on the ocean that allow the waves of our feelings to direct the course of our life, so our life's constantly up and down and not really ever getting anywhere? Or are we going to be ships on that ocean that are able to chart our course despite the various feelings that we experience?
All right. It sounds like a good explanation to me. If you would like an opportunity to speak to our guest today, who once again is a psychiatrist, and you may not have that many opportunities to speak to a psychiatrist. Now, he's not going to put you on the couch, but he does have some good advice that can be helpful to us. The number is 800-775-4673. We're going now to Georgia, and we're going to talk to Chris. Chris, nice to have you on the air with us.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Well, thanks for calling in.
Hello, Chris.
Hi.
What would your question be?
Well, I really don't have a question. I just have a comment.
Okay.
The idea that Christians should always be happy, we live in this world, but we are not of this world.
Okay.
And so because we live in this world, in my opinion, we're going to have ups and downs every day.
Yes.
Some days are worse, some days are better.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just feel like just because you're a Christian does not guarantee you full-time happiness.
Well, you know, I think from what I read in the Bible, I think you're right. But let's ask our guest what his opinion of that would be. Dr. Jennings?
I think she's pointing out that we live in a world in which we're engaged in what the Bible calls spiritual warfare. We're in a warfare, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They have divine power to demolish strongholds, and it talks about the things we demolish, arguments, pretensions, knowledge, and we bring our thoughts into captivity to Jesus Christ. And it's talking about that our minds currently are not operating in the way God originally designed them to do, and we are being tempted from all types of sources, including internal sources and feeling states that can unsettle our experiences of peace and wellness. And so I think your caller is exactly right that as Christians, while we have advantages to be victorious in this warfare, there are times that the warfare will take a toll and we will feel discouraged or down.
Well, Chris, it sounds like he agrees with you.
That's good.
So, a great observation, Chris. I think you're right. Sometimes when people become Christians, they think that now everything is going to go smoothly and we'll never have any problems, we'll never have negative feelings or feel sad, or despondent. But Christians can have those feelings as well as non-Christians, can't they?
That's right.
So, hey, great call. Thanks so much.
And I'd like to throw something else in here now.
Okay.
And in aftermath of our caller.
Sure.
And that is God's original design for us when he created in the very beginning was that humanity experience happiness all the time.
Right.
And it's only is because an infecting element has come into our hearts and minds that we experience things other than happiness in our life. And that infecting element is an element that brings the experience of fear and insecurity and doubt. If you notice, prior to Adam and Eve's fall, there was no fear.
Right.
It was only after their fall that fear came.
Right.
And fear motivates us to do all types of things that are very damaging and self-destructive and result in much unhappiness.
Let's talk about that. I think that's a great thing for us to discuss a little bit. Chris, are you still with us? Okay.
Yes, but I'm getting ready to hang up.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for calling, and God bless.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, good point. Tim, you know, when I think of this, and this is, I think it's so difficult for us to go back in time and to develop more than what the Bible has to say. And yet at times we are forced to go back and say, okay, from what we know about how God made things, then how do we fill in the spaces that aren't there in the scripture? And I think this is one of those. And I've thought about this myself before. When God made Adam and Eve in the beginning, we know that he made them happy. We know, of course, that he says that perfect love cast out fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently God's plan is for us to live in an existence where there is not fear and anxiety and those kinds of things. It is interesting to me, though, to think, and I don't have any biblical sources that I can throw out to people here, but to think about how did God actually make Adam and Eve in the beginning emotionally? And what changed after the process of sin? Was fear? Was depression? Were those things something that came in afterwards, or were those emotions always there, just never to be used? Or exactly how did God make them? And of course, we have the mind and the body. Maybe you'd like to comment on this some. The mind and the body are so closely tied together that when Adam and Eve's physical nature started to deteriorate, maybe some other things did as well.
You raised some great things. First, as we experience ourselves or think about ourselves, we can use the metaphor of a computer. Just as a computer has hardware and a computer has software, so our brains have hardware and software. Hardware being the physical components that make up the brain itself, the brain tissue and the chemicals the brain makes, hardware. And you were suggesting that after the fall, and we're going to have to probably pick this up.
Well, that's okay. Yes, we'll pick this up after break. Our number is 800-775-4673. We are talking about happiness. We're talking about negative feelings and how those things enter into our life. We'd like to understand that also from a Christian perspective. And then we would just love to hear from you, your opinions, your ideas, your questions. 800-775-HOPE.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
If you're blessed by what you're hearing on this radio station and you want more, LifeTalk Radio introduces the Hope Channel, a powerful new television network with an exciting, inspirational program lineup relevant to today's culture. Join us in a new documentary series as we retrace Paul's epic journeys across Asia Minor. Enjoy biographies that will take you through the lives of great Christian leaders. Inspirational Bible studies will lead you to a better understanding of God's Word. And our cutting-edge health and cooking programs will help you enjoy a full and happy lifestyle. To start enjoying Hope Channel's programming right away, contact your cable or satellite provider today and let them know you want the Hope Channel. For more information, visit us online at www.hopetv.org. That's www.hopetv.org.
Steve Gallimore back with you. Our number is 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-HOPE. And my guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings. He is a psychiatrist in private practice, and he is kind enough to join me in the studio today as we talk about this topic of happiness and negative feelings. And we would like to hear from you about your feelings, but we also would like to hear from you about your perspectives from the standpoint of a Christian or even a non-Christian, what you think about happiness and negative feelings and what role they serve and how should they enter into our lives. The number once again is 800-775-4673. Well, Dr. Jennings, before we went to break, you were interrupted by the break, so
yes.
Go ahead and finish up your thought.
What I was going to say in regard to your question about some of these origin issues, we can use the metaphor of a computer. Our minds have hardware and software, hardware being the physical brain structure itself. The software are the things we think and believe. When God created Adam and Eve in the beginning, he created them with perfect hardware and perfect software, the things they believed. They had an open face-to-face relationship and a trusting relationship with God. If you look at the sequence in the Genesis account, as soon as Eve and Adam believed the lies about God, their trust in God was broken. They no longer trust him. There's a software change. And immediately they ran and hid because they were afraid. So fear was a new element, an infecting element that they had not known before, which was based on a change in their thought processing or their belief system about God himself. And thus, when you look at the New Testament solution in Romans, when Paul talks about for Abraham, his faith or trust was accounted as righteousness, that's because trust, as soon as trust was reestablished, it displaced the distrust.
Right.
And the fear then is removed when we're back in trust.
You know, Tim, it's so pleasant to talk to you as a psychiatrist because you have such a solid scriptural approach to what you're doing. And even though many, I'm sure, in your field do, there are probably a lot that do not as well. And so this is just pleasant to hear. And so, you know, if you'd like to call in today, please feel free to do that. And you can talk to a good Christian psychiatrist as we're discussing this topic about happiness and negative feelings. You know, going back to, once again, to the book of Genesis, Tim, when we look at what God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, don't take that fruit. Don't reach out and take it. And you remember, of course, Satan came and he told Eve, he says, listen, God doesn't want you to take that fruit because he knows that the moment that you take that, then you're going to be like him, and you'll know good and evil. And this was the whole issue, that Adam and Eve only knew good. But the moment that they disobeyed God, his direct command, when they disobeyed that direct command, then they obtained at that moment the knowledge of good and evil. God knew what evil was, and Adam and Eve did not. And God tried to hold that back from them. And I think you brought up such an intriguing thought about what really happened to Adam and Eve there when they disobeyed God. And, I mean, the obvious evidence that something happened was that they ran and hid.
Well, let's take it even a step further and clarify the good and the evil. God's law or his character is based on his principle of love, which is beneficence, the principle of giving. You can see this in the way he made this world to operate, with the oceans that give their water to the clouds that rain over the land, forming the lakes, rivers, and streams which flow back to the ocean, this circle of giving. If a body of water stops flowing, everything in it dies. It stagnates and dies. Right. You give your breath, which is carbon dioxide, to the trees, and they give their oxygen back to you. Mm-hmm. If you stop giving, the only way to do that is to die. The right. principle of giving is the principle of life. This is the principle of goodness. The principle of evil is what scientists call survival of the fittest, which is okay. the principle that says, I will do everything I need to promote my own self-agenda, which is the opposite of love, which is I'll do everything necessary to promote your good and welfare.
Yes.
And so the one principle leads to life, the other principle leads to death.
Good thought. Excellent thought. Well, let me ask you about negative feelings. And then, you know, we want to get on to the happy stuff. But when it comes to negative feelings, what role do they play in our lives today? I would assume that we're not to ascribe every feeling that we would just think of as negative as being an evil thought. For instance, if I look at a car, I moved into this area of the country from the Northeast, and occasionally there you would see cars that were rusted out by salt. Now, when I look at that car that's all rusted out by the salt from the roads, I look at that and say, you know what? That's not a very pretty car anymore. Well, that really is a negative thought. I suppose if a person was perfectly positive, they would look at that car and say, oh, what a beautiful sight I see. You know, the color of brown is really a pretty color.
Well, what you're raising, though, is you're raising the specter of how we label things negative and positive. Negative and positive in our English language has a connotation of judgmentalism.
Okay.
It's good or bad, evil or good, okay, negative or positive.
Right.
And so when you look at it and you see something negative about it, that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad or inherently immoral or evil. Just because it's rusted out. It's just the reality of the way oxidation works and things happen.
Okay. Let's go now to Oregon, and we're going to talk to Susie. Susie, nice to have you with us today.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. What question or observation would you have?
Well, I just as a Christian, I have a tendency to think negative thoughts at times, and I think it's just been my background or something like that. But I would like to know if you have any practical steps that would help a Christian, and I do study and read my words, so I know that's helping me too, but if there's anything practical that I can apply to my thinking that would help me overcome the tendency to go to the negative side.
Great question, Susie. You know, I've spent a lot of my life as a pastor, and I can tell you there's some people that I have had that have been, you know, church members, many of them great people. In fact, I've always have really, really appreciated the person that sits in the pew when I'm a pastor. But there are some people, as every pastor can tell you, that are in the congregation and you say, has this person ever had a positive thought in their life? It seems like they're critical about everything and everyone in the church. And so I kind of, you know, I appreciate where you're coming from with your question. But let's ask our guest today, Dr. Jennings, what would you, your response be?
It's a very, very broad question because there's lots of reasons why people can have negative thoughts. And my approach would be to try and find a little insight into what is it that is motivating the negative thoughts? Where's that coming from? Is it situational only when a certain situation happens? Or is it coming from something that's more inherent all the time?
Susie, I know that our guest would like to talk with you some more, and if you would be kind enough just to stay with us, and sure. We have to go to break, and then we'll come back as soon as break is over, and we'll talk some more. Our number is 800-775-4673. You too can join us on the air. We would love to speak with you. The number once again, 800-775 and the word hope.
Call 800-775-4673 to share your thoughts on Steve Gallimore Live.
Let's talk about greed.
the unquenchable desire for money and possessions. What does the Bible say about greed? In Luke, Jesus says,
"Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions."
1 Timothy also reminds us that many people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with grief. If you have questions about your life and where to find good advice, BibleInfo.com on the web is one answer. Or call 1-800-97-BIBLE.
Direct access to God's Word to help yourself, a friend, or a loved one.
It's easy. Log on to www.BibleInfo.com and learn more about the Bible. Or call 1-800-97-BIBLE, a free service of your local Seventh-day Adventist church.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. This program is also streamed live online in video form, so you can see everything that goes on in the studio. And if you've missed some of today's discussion, you can watch it later, archived online at our website, lifetalk.net. Or if you'd like a CD copy of today's broadcast, just call 800-775-4673. We're grateful for those who continue to remember Lifetalk in their daily prayers, and we deeply appreciate those who have made financial contributions to keep this ministry going strong. You can donate online at lifetalk.net or by calling that same toll-free number, 800-775-4673. There's more Steve Gallimore Live on the way. Stay with us for the second half of the program.
Steve Gallimore, my guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, a psychiatrist in private practice. You can talk to us today on the air at 800-775-HOPE, 800-775-4673. And we have Susie on the phone line from Oregon, and Susie just called in and had a question that she posed to our guest. We were interrupted by the break, and so Dr. Jennings, pick up if you would and help us with this question.
Yeah, Susie, could you shed a little more light, if you would, on the types of negative thoughts that you've been struggling with?
Well, I'm in a situation right now where my mother just passed away a week ago, and I'm in a divorce after 27 years, and I think I've just developed over years habits of critical thinking and harshness or judgmentalism. And I just wondered if there was any kind of, as I study the Bible, I'm feeling that God's prompting me more, and I can kind of sense that, you know, he's saying, okay, stop before you say that. And I was wondering if in your practice, if you have any tools that people can use to help them get past that stage where they're used to, you know, just thinking the worst.
Yes, let me share a couple of things. First, the types of negative thoughts or feelings that you're having, the sadness and grief, are normal when you lose somebody you love. Even Christ, when Lazarus died and he was on his way to resurrect Lazarus, wept because it was painful and hurtful. And it reveals a tenderness in your own heart that when you lose somebody you love, that you feel the pain of it. And so the feeling of the pain that you're having is not mean you're mentally ill or abnormal. It means you're actually very normal and healthy. But now it tells us we have some work to do to bring healing through. Now, what I suggest to my patients is a little exercise for grief. And I give them a little analogy. I ask them if they've ever been to the beach, and if they see a wave coming in and they've run from that wave and the wave catches them behind, what happens? They get knocked down. But if they lean into the wave, they stay on their feet. Grief comes in waves. And so I give my patients the assignment to try to get 15 to 20 minutes where they can be home alone each day. And during that 15 to 20 minutes, they lean in to the grief rather than try to avoid it. They think about the person they lost. They think about what it meant to them. They think about how their life has changed. And if they need to cry, they cry. And if they need to scream, they're home alone. Go ahead and scream. And if it's so bad you feel like you got to hit something, then pound on your mattress. But you lean into it every day for 15 or 20 minutes. Then you pick yourself up, wipe your tears away, and move about your business. And you come back and do it again every day as you process through this, because the only way to deal with this type of pain and loss is to actually process through it and work through it. There is no magic cure to get around it.
I like that.
Does that help, Susie?
Yes, it does. I like that very much. It seems like it's very appropriate to just go ahead and acknowledge that it's there and to move into it, and then you'll pass through it quicker.
Right. Well, Susie, we are very sorry for your loss. as well. And we'd like to just have just a word of prayer with you right here on the air before we drop your call. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, for Susie. You know what she is struggling with right now. And we just pray, Father, that you'll help her to be able to make it through in a way that will be good for her. And we thank you, Lord, for the advice that has been shared with her today. So, Lord, we just want to ask you to be with her and bless her now in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, I want to add that thank you so much for these wonderful men. I pray that you'll bless their ministry and people that are listening, that they will be blessed also. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much, Susie. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go now to Minnesota, and we're going to talk to David. David, nice to have you on the air with us today.
Good to be with you today.
Yes. What would your question or comment be?
My comment is, of course, we can experience happiness and sadness and grief, but I think Paul pretty well summed it up when he said godliness, there's a contentment in godliness, and I think Job experienced that. You know, Job certainly experienced sorrow, but, you know, he said though God would slay him, yet he could trust in him. He knew who he belonged to, and I think that's the core that we need to be connected with Christ.
Yes, good.
To help us through this all.
Good thought. Dr. Jennings?
No, I agree completely. I think as we continue to walk in our relationship with God and experience His healing power in our life, we become healthier in the way we think, in the way we process, we make healthier choices, and ultimately we experience an abiding peace that allows us to deal with difficult situations. As it says about Christ, for the joy set before Him, He was able to suffer through and chose to go through the cross. In His pain, He also had joy because He saw an accomplishment that His sacrifice would accomplish. So too, we can often find ourselves in situations that to us personally might be painful, but because we put ourselves in a larger view, in the great controversy setting, with God, with God's perspective in mind, we're allowed to allow, it gives us a perspective to allow us to experience a joy because our suffering might be working for a larger cause.
You know, David, you have found that having Christ in your life is an area of peace and comfort to you?
I certainly have.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's just the support that a person needs. I mean, it's a completeness.
Well, David, that's a wonderful thought, and just want to thank you for calling today.
You're welcome.
All right, God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, Dr. Jennings, what role in your mind does a commitment to Christ play in the proper balance in life of handling all life situations? I can imagine in my life without Christ, when a time of crisis or a time of loss comes by, it would seem to be very difficult to handle that. But that's my perspective. Others may have a different perspective.
Well, before I can even answer that question, we'd have to make sure that we were committing ourselves to the right Christ.
Okay.
Because Christ himself said, they will come to me at the end of time and say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We performed miracles in your name.
Yes.
We did all these things in your name, in the name of Christ.
Right.
And he says, get thee hence, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Okay.
And so, you know, the reason I bring that up is because there are many Christians by name, in church membership roles somewhere, who don't have a sense of abiding peace, who don't have that contentment. And a place to start inquiry is, have I committed myself to the genuine Christ, or has a misrepresentation of Christ been what I've accepted?
Well, I think that's a great point, because some people in the relationship to the Lord, or lack thereof, can certainly feel comforted for the wrong reasons. And as you've indicated, the Lord in the last day is going to say, well, I'm not sure that I really know that we've been acquainted before. We're going to talk more about that when we get back from break. We would love to have you join us on the air. The number is 800-775-HOPE. That number, once again, is 800-775-4673. You can call in and talk with us. Our topic today is about negative thoughts, happy thoughts. How does all this relate to the message of Christianity, and how can Christians relate to those thoughts?
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
If you're blessed by what you're hearing on this radio station and you want more, Life Talk Radio introduces The Hope Channel, a powerful new television network with an exciting, inspirational program lineup relevant to today's culture. Join us in a new documentary series as we retrace Paul's epic journeys across Asia Minor. Enjoy biographies that will take you through the lives of great Christian leaders. Inspirational Bible studies will lead you to a better understanding of God's Word. And our cutting-edge health and cooking programs will help you enjoy a full and happy lifestyle. To start enjoying Hope Channel's programming right away, contact your cable or satellite provider today and let them know you want The Hope Channel. For more information, visit us online at www.hopetv.org. That's www.hopetv.org.
Steve Gallimore. My guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist in private practice. And our number is 800-775-HOPE, 800-775-4673. We are happy and delighted to speak with you on the air. So give us a call, 800-775-4673. We are talking about happiness and negative thoughts and those kinds of emotions. And how can we deal with those as Christians? How should we relate to those in ourselves and in others? The number once again, 800-775-HOPE. Dr. Jennings, when we think about the message of Christianity, the message of Christianity is a message of hope. If anyone can read the New Testament and come away despondent, I don't know how you could do that, because it really is a message of hope. There's no question that the New Testament talks about judgment, but the message of the good news is really the good news. It's a message of hope. And yet I have noticed, and I just during break, I made a reference of this to you. I have noticed that sometimes those that are in your profession, and this is not a negative characterization of your profession, please don't misunderstand, but some of those down through the years in your profession have looked at Christians and said, there's something wrong here, because it seems that religion and Christianity actually makes people imbalanced rather than solving things.
Yeah, and I think that's because of the history of misconceptions about God and what God wants from us. Through history, many people have a conception of God that God doesn't want us to think. God doesn't want us to ask questions. And therefore, in history, many Christians have believed things that are absolutely nonsensical, such as, historically, the earth being flat, and they wouldn't even be willing to ask questions and look at evidence that the earth wasn't flat. And that's because of the conception of God, that God doesn't tolerate questions. God tells you what to believe. You better believe it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Don't ask questions. But that's not what he says. In Isaiah 1, 18, he says, come, let us reason together.
Right.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow, that red like crimson, they'll be made like wool. The process of thinking it out for ourselves. And John 15, 15, he says, I don't call you servants, rather I call you friends, because servants don't understand what their master is doing. And
right.
So God actually wants us to ask these questions that come into understanding friendship.
Yes. Okay. Good point. Now let's come back to the issue of happy thoughts and negative thoughts. What are happy thoughts? Help me understand. When we say this is a negative thought or this is a happy thought, what actually is a happy thought?
I think
I don't know. That's just a generic question. It's hard to answer. But what is a negative thought?
I think Jesus said the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truthful thoughts ultimately are healthy thoughts, which lead to happy thoughts. Unhealthy thoughts are deceptive thoughts, distorted thoughts, warped thoughts, deceitful thoughts, false thoughts. Those things lead us into directions that are unhealthy and damaging. So the truth is, even if it's an unpleasant truth, okay, for instance, you're having a physical symptom of some kind, and you have the choice. Do I accept the truth I'm having this physical symptom, or do I deny it? Accepting the truth gets you help faster, so you get a resolution and healing quicker. Denying the truth allows some problem to build to maybe to the point it's terminal before you get healing for it. And so the truth is what brings happy thoughts.
You know, I have seen people that have been, you know, just so negative about everything in life. Their whole life becomes overwhelmed with negative thoughts and with criticism. You know, often this breaks out, sometimes it becomes internal, but often it breaks out against other people. Where a person just, I mean, anything they look at or talk about, it's never from a positive standpoint. What makes those, I'm going to use some very just common language here. What makes those people tick?
That's a very broad question. Ultimately, it's a self-referenced approach. They have an issue where life isn't fair. They've gotten shortchanged somewhere in life. They've been injured. They haven't had their just rewards in some form or fashion. So it's ultimately a self-referenced point of view rather than an other-centered. Instead of approaching life, what can I do for another person and other people to make their lives better? They're always looking to see what they can get out of it. And when they don't, they become negative. And can I just make a quick plug?
Sure, please.
I've got a 6-part seminar on God's principles to healing the mind that is available for your listeners on my website, comeandreason.com.
Okay.
And if they would like to go listen to that, it's free. They can go listen to it.
Let's give that again. Come Reason?
Come and Reason. C-O-M-E-A-N-D-R-E-A-S-O-N. Comeandreason.com.
Okay. And so they can go there and they can find...
A 6-part seminar on God's principles to heal the mind.
All right. Very good. So let's give that address one more time, because you know how it is. By the time someone gets something to write down with, then it's already passed. So let's go back and let's give that one more time. Maybe before the end of the program, we can give it again.
But, www.comeandreason.com.
Okay. Great. One person sent in this message and this question for us today. It says, when is antidepressant necessary? I assume they're talking about medication.
Yes. As I said earlier, we have hardware and we have software. When there's a dysfunction in brain function, and we do now know that when people have major depression, there's an alteration in protein production in the brain, certain proteins that are essential for neuronal health, like brain-derived neurotrophic factor and others. Sometimes medications are helpful because they can kickstart the reproduction of these proteins that make the brain healthy again. When those proteins aren't there, the brain actually loses neurons, and certain portions of the brain have been documented in imaging studies to shrink when people are depressed, and they expand again when the depression clears as these proteins are reproduced.
You know, it sounds like in when we talk about the body, there's so many places where the rule, if you don't use it, you lose it, comes into play. And the brain seems to be one. I know that of course, as a psychiatrist, you are involved in the physiological as well as the other side of the operation of the brain. But if we develop those positive thoughts and those positive pathways in the brain, then they start to take a dominant role. Would that be true?
That's absolutely true. And there's a close interface between the physical and the software side, the thought processing side. What we think actually changes the way the brain is wired. The choices we make, what we watch, the behaviors we engage in will actually cause the brain to make connections in neural pathways that weren't there before. Just think of taking piano lessons or taking a language course. You will begin setting up a neural pathway that corresponds with that skill that was not there before. But it goes beyond skills. It goes into the actual beliefs we have, how we relate to other people. There's neural networks that respond to all this. And so as we think and make choices, so are we, as the Bible says.
So in the same way that we can lift weights and build our muscles or run and build our lung capacity, we can use our mind in a positive way, and we can build positive thought processes in our mind.
And conversely, if we've had a lifelong pattern of negative thought processes, it's like breaking an old habit. It takes a while to break that pattern. I've spoke English my whole life. If I decided today I'm going to speak Spanish from now on, it will take me quite some time before I become fluent in another language.
So you get those pathways. In fact,
yes.
The older we get, the harder it becomes.
Yes.
Isn't that true?
But it's not impossible.
But it's not impossible. The number is 800-775-4673, and we would love to hear from you. The number once again, 800-775-4673. When we get back from break, we are going to talk to Candace in Michigan, and we are talking about negative thoughts, and we are talking about happy thoughts and how the brain relates to those. Give us a call. Steve Gallimore, my guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist in private practice. We are talking about happy thoughts and negative thoughts, and we would love to talk with you, 800-775-HOPE. We're going now to Michigan, and Candace, nice to have you with us today.
Hi.
What would your question or your observation be?
Well, one thing is, I do have major depression, and I take medication. But about a year ago, I started taking Sami, and I've improved so much. My doctor okayed it.
Okay.
But one time at church, someone said to me, Christians should not be depressed. There's no reason for that, and they shouldn't have to take medication. They should just be able to change their ways.
Okay, well, let's see what our guest has to say about that. I've heard that many times myself.
Great question. In actuality, I have to remind people, when Adam fell from grace, genetic and biologic defects began to enter our gene pool. We're 6,000 years at least from the hand of God, and there's all types of biological defects in our body, including our brain, which is part of our physical being. And sometimes, and I won't get into the detail of it, but there are many documented genetic mutations that affect things like how much neurotransmitter your brain makes, how sensitive the receptors are, how efficient the reuptake pumps are. All the physical functioning of the neurons are determined by the genes, and alterations in those genes can alter the actual physical functioning of the brain. For people who say that, they're only revealing their lack of knowledge on and lack of knowledge, and also, in my opinion, their lack of love and compassion for other people.
Yes, in the same way that you would go have a broken bone reset so they could heal properly, you don't just say, well, hopefully this will fix itself because I'm a Christian.
Right.
But sometimes we take the mind and we put that in a different category, don't we?
We sure do. We sure do.
Okay, I do have another question.
Okay, quickly. We're running out of time,
okay.
Candace. We have
just that I read once that if you want to change something about yourself, that if you do it for 21 days, it'll become ingrained as a habit.
I think you're pretty much right. Let's ask our guest.
You're going right down the right trail, and it has to do with what we were talking about earlier, and that is that establishing those new neural circuits, and the more you do it, in 21 days, it takes approximately that time to establish a neural circuit, and of course, the more you do it thereafter, the more of ingrained it becomes, and the more second nature it becomes to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Candace, thanks so much for calling in today.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. We have another question that has been sent in to us, and this question is this, and this is a question that many Christians deal with, and from a pastoral perspective, I'm well acquainted with this question. It says, when you're not welcome in a church, how do you deal with the negative thoughts and depression from that? Dr. Jennings?
This is a great question, and it allows us to explore a principle that applies beyond the church to our entire walk in life with dealing with people. I want you to imagine you walk out in the parking lot and you see a 40-year-old man cursing foully at a 5-year-old little girl, calling her all kinds of ugly names. Do you immediately think, what a horrible little girl? Or do you think, there's a real serious problem with that man? Is it obvious to you where the problem lies? Whose heart is in trouble there? But what's the little girl walk away feeling like? She walks away feeling like there's a problem with her. Her feelings are self-condemning, but she's wrong. The problem is not with her. The man's behavior reveals things about him. When you go to a church and people treat you this way, they're revealing to you what's in their heart, not what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. But we often are like the little girl. We'll walk away feeling bad about ourselves or feeling something negative about us, that rather than realizing the truth that the person who's done this has shown us that they need our prayers and our compassion because they're on the wrong trail.
Well, and I think that's such a great answer. Once again, I've spent my life as a pastor, and from the standpoint of a pastor, every pastor in this world, Tim, is kind of a setting duck for criticism. And I want to emphasize that church members have been far nicer to me than I ever deserved. But you do have people that become very critical at times and very negative. And how do you relate to that? And I have always related exactly the way that you have just mentioned. Here is a person that, while they may be negative, even towards me personally, that here's a person that probably needs some kind of encouragement, some kind of help, something that they don't already have in their life. Maybe even they just need a basic spiritual conversion. And so my responsibility in reacting to that person is not to become angry and defensive, but to say, what can I do to help out? And conduct myself in a way that I can do that.
Excellent. And Christ gave several points. One, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Basically saying the same thing. People reveal to us what's in their heart as they treat us. And two, when he was on the cross and people would treat him bad, it wasn't about how can they do me this way after all the things I've done for everybody. It was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His focus was on them. Just as you described as a pastor, your concern was for the welfare of that other person. And if we keep our minds focused on the welfare of the other person when they do us badly, it keeps us from sinking into a depression or anxiety.
Okay. What happens when a person sinks into depression and anxiety, and it's not to the level that you would call clinical? What can they do?
I guess they need to identify what are the contributing factors if they can. Typically, if it's not clinically significant, then it usually is a situational type depression and usually a situation that's contributing to it. It might be very normal, like our caller earlier, who's lost a loved one and that is so painful to her that she experiences no joy for a period of time. The fun in life seems to be drained out of life. Well, that would be a very normal response to the loss of a loved one. So I would have to ask to evaluate the situation of why the person is having this emotional response at that point in time.
Are there people that are so happy that they're abnormal? You didn't expect that question, did you?
Well, there is a condition called mania, in which it's an it's a sense of inflated euphoria or self-esteem or great grandiosity, in which people do have a loss of touch with reality and they see things in a distorted way and they have a greater than baseline or normal sense of happiness or euphoria. Yes.
But for a person that's well balanced, I mean, obviously it would seem to me that we can have any type of behavior that becomes diseased after a certain point, if we could use that terminology. That's my terminology, not yours. You have professional terminology. But in any case, are there people that are just too happy for their own good that are otherwise well balanced people?
I don't think that would be the case. I think if you are a person who approaches things rationally, reasonably, truthfully, honestly, you will probably experience more happiness than the person who doesn't day to day. And that more happiness you experience, that's an outgrowth of making healthy choices and living your life in a healthy way spiritually, physically, mentally, and relationally, I think would be a very expected and predicted byproduct.
Should we strive to be happy?
I think if you focus on happiness, you've already missed the mark, because when you focus on happiness, you're focusing on me. I'm going to do what I can to make me happy. Now the focus is me. When you're focusing on God's principles, on fulfilling His will, and focusing on others, happiness is a natural byproduct.
You know, I like that. I had someone walk in my office as a pastor one time and say, well, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to because I think God wants me to be happy. That attitude is an attitude that leads to unhappiness, doesn't it?
Correct.
Well, we only have 30 seconds or so left here. Do you have one last thought that you could share with people about this whole issue of happy and negative thoughts?
I think that happiness is an outgrowth of living one's life to the healthiest way possible, applying the truth to the best of their ability, to the best of their knowledge.
All right, let's get that website quickly one more time.
commonreason.com, commandreason.
All right. And Dr. Jennings, has been so nice to have you on the air with me today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's a great program. Thank you. We wish each of you God's richest blessing, and we trust that you will stay close to Him, especially across the weekend, and I'll be happy to talk with you once again on Monday.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support Life Talk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net, or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.